The First Testament reading comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Let us hear what God is telling us today. While they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman that he had married, for he had indeed married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and said at the entrance of the tent, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. When there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, myself, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted with all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. The word of the Lord.
We continue our study in the Beatitudes this morning. We are in chapter 5 of Matthew, looking at verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The word of the Lord. It was perhaps the most cliche moment of my entire junior high school experience. Now, for those of you of certain ages, it was junior high. For the others of you, it was middle school. But it was my first year in junior high, and I was walking down the hallway with a couple of my friends, and some older boys quickly walked past us, and one of them slapped my friend on the back and said, "Welcome to Fondren." Now, we all thought that was very strange, until I sort of slowed down a bit and looked at my friend's back, and yes, there it was, taped to his back, a piece of paper that said, "Please kick me." As I said, about as cliche as one could get in junior high. But I have to say, every time I read this beatitude, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," all I can think of is my friend with that sign on his back saying, "Please kick me." Because that's what meek has always meant to me. It is, kick me, it is, I'm cowering in a corner, it is, I can't speak up, it is just that one is meek and weak and unsure of oneself, and it's just not a good image. And so I've always struggled with this, how the meek are going to inherit the earth, because we know who inherits the earth. The powerful, the strong, the wealthy, the brutal, the dominant, they're the ones that inherit the earth. So the question is, what's going on here? Where is the wonderful news for the people of God? Well, for us to understand this, what we need to do is we need to stop thinking about meek as 21st century people, and we need to see it through the eyes of first century Galilean Jewish peasants. And I believe when we do that, what we're going to do is we're going to discover some wonderful news. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And here's how we're going to do this. We're going to start with the second half, what would be the wonderful news part of the Beatitude, and leave meek for later. Because once we understand the second half, it'll help us understand the first half better. So, inherit the earth. Again, this is one of those strange things that for most of us, it probably makes no sense. What do you mean, inherit the earth? Well, so let's again think like a first century Galilean Jewish peasant. And they would know several things. They would believe and understand several things. The first is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, as the psalmist says. In other words, the earth is the Lord's. Creation is the Lord's. And the Lord can do with it whatever the Lord wants to do with it. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, God has children. God has a chosen family. And those children, that family, those are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jewish people. All right? God's creation is God's. God has a family. And third, what God has promised to do with that creation that belongs to God is to give it as an inheritance to the children of God, to God's children, that they will literally inherit, just like those of us who have a will, if we have anything to give our children when everything's over with, our children inherit from us. And so what the Bible, what the Old Testament scriptures say is that the children of God will inherit creation from God, and they'll inherit it so that they can rule and reign over creation. They can rule and reign. Now, this doesn't mean they can be brutal and cruel to everybody else. It means that they rule and reign over creation in such a way as to make creation a place of love, peace, and justice, a place where every human being is blessed. And this, by the way, is not just an Old Testament concept. If you read the Apostle Paul, in several places, Paul talks about this as well. Okay, so that's what it means to inherit the earth. That God owns it and God's going to give it to God's children as an inheritance for them to rule and reign on God's behalf. Now, there is, though, one caveat to this. And that is, not every Jew is going to be part of those who inherit. That the Old Testament makes it clear that those who inherit are going to be the righteous. Okay, they're this remnant of the totality of Judaism. It is going to be the righteous. Now, the righteous doesn't mean people who are perfect, who obey every single law. The righteous means those who love God, love neighbor, love kindness, show kindness, do justice, and walk humbly with God. Those are the righteous. And so it is to those people that will be given the right to rule and reign over creation to help it become a place of love, peace, and justice. So for those people listening to Jesus, that was the image that was going to come to them, that they got to be part of this, these people who received the inheritance of God's creation. So now, with that in mind, let's go to the first part. So why is it that it's the meek who are going to inherit? If it's the righteous, if the righteous are going to do it, what does the meek have to do with that? Well, the answer is that meek has nothing to do with being weak. It has nothing to do with walking around with a sign on your back saying, "Kick me, please." It has nothing to do with sort of cowering in a corner. That has nothing to do with meek. That the Greek word that is used here is actually carries with it nuances of two ideas in the English. The first idea is humility. Humility. Remember the Old Testament passage where it says that Moses was the most humble of all people? It is that idea of humility. It's not self-effacing humility. Oh, I'm really not worthy. No, no. What it means is to be humble is to say, I can't figure out how I'm supposed to live life on my own. I don't have all the answers. I need someone to help guide me and show me the way, the path of living that God desires. That's the humility that's part of the heart of meek. But the other image that's part of meek It's the word is actually used to describe horses who've been trained to obey their riders. Horses that have been trained to the bit, so that when the bit's in the horse's mouth and the rider directs the horse one way or the other, the horse goes. And so, as Cindy was talking about earlier, the image is of meek is to be someone who's humble enough to know that they need help living into being the righteous, and that they are willing to be guided and directed by God to that end. And so the meek are simply those who open themselves to the Scriptures, to guidance, to God's directing. And when they do that, they find themselves becoming those who love God, love neighbor, show kindness, do justice, and walk humbly with God. And so maybe in some ways it's appropriate then, as we're talking about the meek, about being humble and opening ourselves to God's direction for our lives, that we're here at this table. Because what this table is about, it is the clearest demonstration that if we want to see an example of the meek, all we have to do is look to Jesus. Because as the Apostle Paul said, that Jesus, even though he was equal to God, humbled himself and became a human being, a servant, a slave. And in humbling himself and allowing God to guide and direct his entire ministry and mission, it allowed him to be humble enough to eat with sinners and tax collectors, to be humble enough to welcome children, to forgive people caught in adultery, to touch lepers, to heal outcasts, to heal the daughters and sons, not just of Jews, but of Romans. It gave him the humility and the direction so that ultimately, in the face of the cross, he said, "Not my will, but thy will, O Lord." And in going to the cross, in that deep and profound humility, and being raised from the dead, he opened the floodgates of grace and love for the world. He opened the floodgates so that meekness could pour out not just upon those who are children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but upon Jews and Gentiles, men and women, slave and free. That this ability to become children of God, to inherit the earth, is something we can all attain. This is the wonderful news, that becoming part of that community that is capable of helping this world become a place of love, peace, and justice is not restricted to one small group, but has been offered to the whole of creation. And so this morning, as we go to the table, as we come to the bread and the cup, I hope you will see in those elements the meekness of Christ, this deep and profound humility that said, "Your will and not my will, O Lord." And that when you partake of them, you will say the same. You'll say the same not just this morning, but every day this week for the rest of your life, to awaken and say, "Lord, on this day, not my way, but yours." And in so doing, you'll experience the wonderful news of inheriting the earth. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to be meek. Help us to be open to your guidance, your leading, your spirit, your power, that we might indeed be part of that new kingdom that will fill the earth and help to transform it into the world you would have it to be. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.